Do you have an intro ready there, James?
Yes, I do. Trigger warning.
Right, well, yeah.
This is the Lay on the Road. Broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, mile above sea level in Intergalactic Prairie Studios on the corner of Trash View and Nata Vista. We alter your local streams by warming your synapses with jubilant radio waves. Put on your 3D glasses now. We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep the sinful statism out of your head. Can you feel it?
Oh, yes.
Is it working?
Absolutely.
Can you feel it, Michael?
Absolutely. 1,001%. I give 1,001%.
It's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
That's a very nice use of the app. Pocket Alibi that is free that we make there, James.
Yes.
I like it. It's actually the only bad audio allowed on this show, but it's actually good audio, but it's bad audio because we're just holding a phone up to a microphone, which doesn't sound that good. But
I need a whole soundboard system set up here looped into my computer.
I'm not using my soundboard right now. I'm not saying you can have it. I'm just saying I've decided to stop using it all the time, and I'm just using a $40 microphone into a computer running Fiend phone like a common Fiend here, you know, like you guys. I kind of like it. Yeah.
It's a simple setup.
Yep. So, Freedom Fiend. So, tell me really quickly, tell the audience really quickly, for those who don't know, why taxation is theft, and then we can get on to some fun stuff.
Taxation is theft because it's taking part of the product of your labor that's yours and government stealing it from you and saying, hey,
yeah,
that taken in many cases upwards of 50 to even 60, sometimes even 70% of the total value you produce over a year, and using it for government programs that you probably don't even agree with, using it for a lot of things. That you would not voluntarily choose to spend your money on if given an option. So it's taken that which does not, you know, the government has taken that which does not belong to them, which is theft. I mean,
yep. And you know, one way I've heard at it is you know, making you a slave and taking 100% of your labor is obviously wrong. It's obviously slavery. So at what percent less than that is it okay? That's a good starter question for people who don't really understand that taxation is theft.
Right.
And
the thing is, they do a lot of hiding of it to make people not really even realize it.
Yeah.
You know, because people think a lot of times they're like, oh, income tax, you know, it's not that bad. But then you tack on all the other taxes that you pay, your property taxes, your sales taxes, your gas taxes, your tobacco taxes, your sin taxes, your luxury taxes. You know, it just goes on and on and on to the point where you're really paying a lot of money in taxes. And a lot of that money is, or you're spending already taxed money on products that are now taxed.
That's a lot of double
taxation there.
Yeah, every step of the way, they take a chunk out of it. And you know, another thing is a lot of hidden costs, because when you buy a candy bar, you're like, okay, I'm paying, you know, 5% sales tax on this if you live in a, you know, reasonable state. I mean, there's no reasonable amount, but what was it in California? Like, so, I mean, some cities with the city and state tax in California, it's like, I don't know, 10% or something. But, you know, you pay that amount, but you're actually paying more than that, because the cost of the candy bar or anything, product or service you buy, also includes, you know, the profit for the seller and the profit for everybody down the line, which is good.
But
the tax of everything, the tax of the gas tax to drive, you know, to drive it there, the tax on the land of the place you bought it, everything down the line is taxed.
Not to mention the corporate income tax that gets passed on to the consumer.
Yeah. Yeah,
because corporations don't pay taxes. That all gets passed down to the consumer.
The really ironic part is people who think, you know, we need to tax the rich more. But you know what? when you tax the rich more, they just tax the poor. They just tax you more, you know? Yeah. Like, if you think, oh, well, these people that are making all this money on, you know, blank, fill in the blank, should be paying a lot more tax than they do. So they add that tax, so then they just jack up the price of that thing. So you pay the tax in the same way that when Trump said, we're going to make Mexico pay for the wall. No. You're going to pay for the wall by everything you buy from Mexico. Mm-hmm. And if you say, well, I don't like cerveza and, you know, fresh limes and other things that come from Mexico, but you still buy things from Mexico. I mean, a lot of cars, American cars, parts are made in Mexico now, or the parts are made here and then assembled in Mexico, or the really, really the smart way to do things now that everyone's doing, most people are doing is, they do the design in a first world country and do the manufacture in a third world country with adult supervision flown in, you know, from the first world country, mm-hmm. from the country where people, well, actually, I don't know if first world is the correct saying now, because a lot of people consider India, for instance, a third world country, but it's India has more people graduating with STEM degrees than America per capita. STEM is science, well, technology, engineering, and math. The people
they also
who
have
design
a billion people,
everything.
Though.
Yeah, yeah. So it's diluted a lot.
Yes.
But yeah,
they got a lot of people there.
Another good example about the free market about India is
well,
how India, cows are treated there. Like people, you know, people say. Here's something that sounds bizarre. I've said this before. I've heard it before. I'll say it again for the people in the cheap seats. The way to deal with endangered species is make it legal to eat them. Because the things that never, ever, ever will go extinct are chickens, pigs, and cows. Because people grow them to eat. In India, you can't eat cows. They're sacred. So cows are basically emaciated and starving and crapping in the street all over India. So, you know, make bald eagle burgers, and bald eagles will never, ever go extinct.
Oh, man, I don't know if I'd want to eat that. Those things are
do you think, okay, you
scavenger
know,
birds.
You know, isn't a bald eagle the symbol of America? Isn't that the bird? Or
yeah,
the
yeah, it yeah. is, and it's like a trash yeah, so. Bird.
Yeah, it's a vulture. Yeah, so can you imagine, like
who was what, it that wasn't of, it Benjamin Franklin wanted it to be the turkey?
Yeah, the turkey.
That would have been a much tastier bird. Animal. Yeah,
yeah.
But can you imagine? Tasty.
Can you imagine if they made it legal to eat the national bird, and you had to call it Patriot Burgers or something, and made it patriotic to eat bald eagles?
Well, that's probably funny. Why they didn't go with the turkey is because everyone would just be eating it.
They think it's disrespectful. Yeah, so like, it's yeah, when you venerate something like a bald eagle or like cows in India, you know, it doesn't thrive.
Yeah, cow was a bad bald one eagles. To make sacred because they're really tasty.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, they say you could be eating your relative. I don't think so.
Mm, yeah.
My relatives are something else.
But with India, it's strange because, you know, they're both like a... It depends on where you're at and who you're talking to on whether it's like first world or third world because their caste system that they have there.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Yep, there are many...
It's both first world and third world, really.
Yeah, which is a weird saying because, you know... First world and third world didn't originally mean, you know, wealthy people and poor people per se. First world meant capitalist. Second world meant communist. And third world meant everything else. Like basically places that didn't have a system, but, you know, still had things trying to keep the man down.
Yeah.
So to say. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they definitely have the things trying to keep the man down because of the caste system.
That's horrible. I can't believe that still happens in this world.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there was actually a, it was CNN, I think it was, did a show with, I don't know if you caught this, it's called Believers.
To catch a cast member?
No. No, Believers with, Ressa Aslan, I think is how you pronounce his name.
I don't know what that is.
It's a show where I only watched this one episode, but it's about India. And it's a show where the guy basically, he goes around to all these different religions and talks about the different religions, goes to the area, goes and studies with them and all this kind of stuff. And there's, he went to go to India to go study with a sect of Hindu called the Aghori, which are like the, they're really quite, because the reason why there's like Hindu really had the whole reason why there's a caste system is because the Hindu religion on belief and to become elevated, you have to be pure. And that's why, you know, you have the caste system. So you have people that, you know, were born into doing the dirty work. So they're not, you know, the pure ones and, you know, the whole thing about, but the Aghori are like this sect that like turns that up on its head, and like they like engage in like cannibalism and just all kinds of just crazy stuff to just to purposely defile themselves in order to like say that they like they purposely defile themselves to make like a statement that nothing you can put in your body can make you impure because you're like creation of the gods and all this kind of stuff.
Well, that's the thing about that in Christianity too. It said Jesus said something like, I could be, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's something to the effect of, you know, a man, it's not what comes, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that makes him impure, it's what comes out of it. Basically, yeah. Just eat what you want, but don't be a creep.
Yeah, I think I remember something like that, and I can't remember that exact passage. But it was an interesting show to watch because these the sect is like a very, very small sect, but they're they're pretty wild. They're pretty wild. It's a it's a pretty crazy episode of that show. I need to watch some more of that show, but I only caught the one episode so far. It's pretty interesting. Especially
I'm making a poster.
Especially that sect.
I'm making a poster.
Are you?
I have ADD. I'm making a poster while we're doing this movie. I'm making a 920 by 1080 poster for my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist that I made in the year 2000. I'm making, that's the little movie that, that keeps giving because like I made this movie for like $5,000 in the year 2000 is my first film, and it is just, you know, like, I woke up today, and they're like, you know, the distributor's like, hey, they're going to put this on, you know, they want this on Amazon Prime. We need a poster of a certain size for it. I'm like, cool, except this was made on low def, so now I have to make a collage to make it a high-def poster. But,
yeah, oh, jeez.
That's the cast I'm in. Pulling myself up to other casts. Worms, we'll be back. You're not worms. You're, we say worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateurs, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Now what?
Well, did you hear about this kid in Ohio that was suspended from school for liking a picture on Instagram?
Of a gun?
Yeah,
it's crazy. Tell me more about it.
Well, a middle school student ended up getting suspended from his school for liking a post on Instagram. The seventh grader, Zachary Bolin, received a 10-day suspension from his middle school, Edgewood Middle School, after he liked a photo. And it wasn't even a gun. It was an airsoft gun. And Instagram,
which the for caption people don't know, airsoft gun is sort of a toy gun, but you could probably put an eye out with it if you had to. It shoots, you know, metal pellet.
No,
I mean it's no
plastic.
No.
Plastic. Yeah.
What are the kind of non-gun guns that shoot a metal?
I was thinking a BB gun.
Air rifle?
Yeah, air rifle. Yeah.
Okay.
It's, yeah. Well, you're thinking, though, the air rifles, they shoot like a metal pellet. No, airsoft guns
and they
shoot
use a
plastic. Yeah. Okay. Well, airsoft guns can use a CO2, or they can use a spring. There's multiple different mechanisms they use in airsoft guns, depending on, you know, the quality of the airsoft gun. But they shoot a slightly larger than a BB gun pellet that's made out of plastic.
Yeah.
And they're used to play, a lot of people are more familiar with maybe paintball, but it's, you know, people play airsoft in the same fashion where they run around in the woods and shoot at each other kind of thing. that's what they're for.
Although they look a lot like guns.
They do look more like real guns, which, you know, is why a lot of people will use them for training purposes, like in-home training purposes.
Yeah.
To have the, because you can shoot them in your home without worrying about damaging things and stuff like that.
Yeah, I have a airsoft thing set up in the basement where I have the little, it's like a sticky target. You know, it looks like a target you'd use for darts or something, but it's sticky. Mm-hmm. And it shoots, you know, you can practice airsoft down there when it's, you know, 50 mile an hour winds and 39 degrees below zero in Wyoming, and you feel like, you know, and you don't have a four-wheel drive, so you feel like you just go down the basement
and shoot off
you, let the cats chase them and bat around on the floor. Yeah, then you have to clean them up.
Yeah.
it's a girly gun. It's a child's gun.
It is. They're child's toys. But, you know, Zachary, the kid that got suspended, he said, you know, I don't think I did anything wrong. The next morning they called me down, patted me down, checked me for weapons, and then told me I was getting expelled or suspended or whatever. That was his quote.
Wow.
The note sent home from school to his parents said that the official cause of his suspension was, quote, liking a post on social media that indicated potential school violence.
You know, the other thing that's really funny about this, too, I don't know if funny is the right word, but, like, liking a post now means, like, the physical act of clicking like on it. But it almost sounds like, you know, oh, I just looked at that and thought I like that, and they punished him for that. But really, that's what they're doing, you know.
That is what
they're punishing
doing.
A thought crime is what they're doing here.
Yeah. They're punishing him for liking just a picture.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy, dude.
He didn't post anything. He just liked it. And this means, you know, not only this, but this shows that they're monitoring what all their students are liking on social media.
That's crazy, man.
You know, that's the real, I mean, that's the real thing that's really kind of in my brain going right now is, why are they doing this?
Yeah, well, your brain would get in trouble at school.
My brain did get in trouble at school.
My brain did, too. I never got any real trouble at school, and also didn't know that you could skip class until I got to college.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so basically, like, my second year of college, I just didn't go to class.
See, I never skipped class.
Yeah.
No, because I always figured the easiest way to pass a class, when they give you the syllabus and you could figure out the easiest way to pass a class, and usually it's to show up and do the classwork, take the test, and you never have to do any homework. And I'd much rather have my afternoons free.
Yeah.
So I always showed up to class and took the tests.
Most kids don't even know what the word syllabus is, even though they're handed one in public school, which we did a whole show on this last night, Phil and I, just basically about how public school, you know, since everyone's trying to go, one of the many problems is that people are trying to learn at the same rates. It's slowing down the smart people and, like, just burying the slow people. Doesn't work.
Thanks for the child left behind.
Yeah, that means drag the smart ones down to the slow ones.
Yeah. Worm.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you tired of driving your kids to Gigi Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where Gigi took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the Gigiest place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll Mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, MeowBit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
People are going, why is he like why is he so offbeat? Because there's a slight delay between me hearing that and to get back to you, so I'm hearing it. Sounds in beat, right, James?
Yep. Sounds in beat.
But they don't hear it that way. We might sound a little better now because we did a little trick here. I've never done this. I don't know why I did this. I invented Fiend Phone with Derek Slopey, but I forgot that there's actually higher quality settings in Fiend Phone. So if we suddenly sound a little better, we went to the higher one, the second highest, not the highest one, because the highest one was buffering. You know, it's a trade-off between audio quality with everything. Whenever you're talking over the internet with your voice, it's a trade-off between audio quality and fidelity, I guess I would say, of, you know, whether it falls out or not, or not fidelity. What's the term?
Latency.
Integrity of the connection. So, but we both have pretty good internet. So we went from Opus 24, 16 kilobits per second to Opus 24, 32 kilobits per second. There's also a 64 kilobits per second called Opus Music Setting, but there's a big difference in quality improvement from 16 to 32, and not that much from 32 to 64, and 64 is buffering. So the way to get into this, if you're on Fiend Phone, is there's a secret little button. It's near the top right where it says About. To the left of About, there's a little blue, it's actually a little blue bird, but it just looks like a blue blob. It's so little. That button, if you click it once, opens up the advanced settings, and then the codec setting drop-down menu is under the microphone setting, in the microphone section, and you have to keep it enabled on advanced settings, because we realize that if you click that, it goes back to basic settings. So we're going to try it.
We'll see what happens.
The board op should whisper in our ear if we start buffering hard. I finished making my poster, so what a time to be alive, man. Like, I remember, you know, playing music in bands where we had to deliver a physical tape to make the physical vinyl records before CDs, you know, and like, you know, you had to like mail artwork to people, or if, you know, like for the cover art, you had to send people film, actual film, which for really young people might not even know was like, you know, translucent plastic that had the image in it. And it took a lot of work, and usually I had to go to professionals, but I just made and delivered art while we were doing a show. What a time to be alive, man. I've watched this change my life. Like, when I was a kid, I'll be 53 this month. When I was a kid, you know, computers took up, you know, several rooms in a building, or a room in a building, and cost millions of dollars and weren't very fast. And you had to, you know, they only, like, the government had them. Some big corporations and a few universities. First time I put my hand on a computer was in New Hampshire. What's that Ivy League University in Hanover, New Hampshire. I forget. That one. My sister was going there. I think it's Ivy League. I don't know. That one. But, you know, I went into the computer room, and it was a bunch of dumb terminals. Like, and people would write programs, and then they'd print out those cards, those punch cards.
Yep.
And that
punch
was the medium.
Programming.
You know, there was no USB drive. Like, 1,000 of those punch cards, you know, like 10,000 of those punch cards was, like, a small USB, you know, small capacity USB
I don't even think that would be... I don't even think that's the case. I think it's even less than that.
I'm gonna Google it. Right
I got gotta how much? Yeah,
I'm gonna
how,
say punch card. Punch card capacity. Yeah, tell me how many bytes. I think it's like, I'm gonna guess 212 or 4. I think 1024 is my. No, it's not a megabyte. It's gonna be like punch card.
No, it's not very much
capacity in bytes. Yeah.
It would be
punch card, 64 bytes.
Yeah,
64 bits or 64 bytes. Yeah, it wasn't much, but so like then people. Well, there were different times over different periods. Let me. They used to come with my parents' phone bill when I was a kid, which is bizarre. And it said, "Do not spindle or fold or mutilate," and you had to like write something on it and then send it back. It was really weird. Actually, Abby Hoffman's book, Steal This Book, told you to spindle and mutilate them and then send them back. That's how he was going to take down the state. That was his plan. I don't think so.
He did not have much storage capacity.
Well, the basic ones, okay, the Fortran, basic Fortran cards are the ones that I knew.
There's multiple formats of them.
Yeah, but, you know, 80 columns. So is each column a byte, a bit? I don't know.
Each column would be a byte.
Yeah. Okay.
Each
so 80 bytes. That's 10 bits.
Yeah. Well, no, the bits because there's
byte,
eight,
right.
Eight,
okay,
eight bits in a byte.
Okay, so there are 80 bytes in this, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So when you think of that, 80 bytes, not 80 megabytes or 80 bytes.
So that's enough for like an icon, icon on a web page now.
I don't even think that's enough for an icon anymore.
They're KB. Yeah, like, they're right. They're like a small one's like 2 KB.
Yeah.
Some of them are like a little tiny, tiny one, like a little dot on a web page will be like, 20 bytes. Is that right? I can't be right. Anyway, so they had this room where like there are all these students who are probably all mostly millionaires now, early computer users, some of them are. And that's like part of the internet started in that room. I looked this up later. Like that was one of the first nodes on art, you know, when the ARPANET turned into the internet, like in the 80s or something, early 80s, late 70s, mid 70s, something like that. And, you know, you had to like write the stuff out. It would go to punch cards, and then the punch cards overnight would be fed into the computer by these like people who were treated like gurus. The people, the like worshipped people who were actually allowed to touch the computer, and then they'd feed it in, and then it would run the program. If there was a mistake, you know, you'd have to do it over the next day. And
I couldn't imagine that because
and then like you'd get, if it worked, you'd get a printout of like dot matrix paper that had the result on it.
Because that's what I went to school for, was programming, and you'd have just an error in your code that would be just something out of place, and you'd have to go through the whole thing. So you're thinking
still
one of these.
Now there's like a button says find problem. You know.
Well, that's what I'm saying though, is you have these punch cards. You know, you have one of those punches in the wrong place. Your whole program you just spent the entire night feeding into the computer now it doesn't work, and now you got to go back through all your punch cards and find. You know, instead of just clicking compile. Oh, there's a bug. There we go. Let me look through there.
Yeah.
You know. You gotta feed it in all night.
You know where the term bug? The term bug actually comes from actual bugs, insects, because in the first really early computers, like in the 50s, before they even like used transistors and before they even mostly used tubes, they used relays, or they used tubes, but they used relays as the memory, like physical, you know, a thing that would click, like a metal thing would come over to an electromagnet. And the first bug was like actually like moths that were attracted to the light in the computers of the tubes and would fly into them and would get stuck between the relays and keep them from closing. So the first bug was actually a bug.
That would be horrible. Actually having actual bugs in the code. That would be the worst. Bugs would drive me crazy. That's why I didn't go in. I didn't actually ever get a job as a computer programmer, is because of how crazy, just going to college programming, how crazy the bugs got me.
Yeah.
I was like,
well, it takes a certain kind of mind. It takes a special kind of autism, or not my kind, but a different kind.
Well, that's the thing, is I don't have autism, so I just spent a lot of time chain smoking cigarettes.
I have Asperger's, which is, I've self-diagnosed over the past few weeks. I have all of the, most of the indicators, except I look people in the eye. That's the one thing that's not my problem.
Well, I think when we took that, because we did all the fiends took that quiz on how autistic are you, and I scored the lowest out of everybody.
Yeah. I scored just under Asperger's, and everyone's like, yeah, I think you missed one.
Yeah. I think out of like, it was a 1 to 100, I got a 3.
Yeah. I got a 27, and I think 30 was where it started.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't, I don't have that special kind of autism that allows me to deal with bugs very well. I just chain smoked a lot of cigarettes, staring at code. Driving me crazy. So I was like, this isn't really for me. It's a good skill to know how to do, and that's what I look at it. That's what I have that skill, and I can, websites and stuff like that, no problem, but I'm not doing that full time, no way. Not me.
But you do work in the computer industry.
I do work in the computer industry. But not
you deal with the kind of bugs that are called PEBCACs.
Yeah, I deal with the...
Do you know what a PEBCAC is?
I believe you're using... I would call it something else, but I believe you're calling it the same thing I'm thinking of.
It stands for problem exists between chair and keyboard.
See, I always call those pick error. I just call those pick errors.
What's that stand for?
The problem in between chair and keyboard.
Pick errors. Yeah. Yeah, there's mechanics have a term for that, too. They say the problem is with this car is the nut behind the wheel.
Yeah.
You buffered a little bit, but I'm going to allow it because I think it's really better. Yeah. So last time you were on the show, it didn't go well because you and Jim, who was also on the show at the time, require adult supervision, and there was none, even though I was on the show, because I think Jim was a little buzzed on alcohol, and I don't know. It was a runaway train. And so I'm really glad that you're on the show. And I was glad Jim was on the show until it turned into the Lulberts and he quit. But I like Jim. I'm still friends with him. He hasn't talked to me, but I'm still friends with him.
No.
We're both busy. We're busy. I'm sure we're still friends. But so we're going to redo that show, but do it correctly this time. We're going to do the same two topics, spooks, but more importantly, Max Stirner and why people should care. We're going to the market soon, but
the market here. But
you require adults. You do well with adult supervision on radio games. Hey, you can take off your clothes here like you did on national television at the Libertarian Party, meow. Go ahead, do it. I got a body for radio. I'll do it.
Who says I already don't?
How would we know?
You never know. It's the beauty of radio.
Go punch your punch cards and we'll be back.
Clear those.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Yep. Well, yes, we are. Dark with the college I was speaking of was Dartmouth, part of the Ivy League, which is it's a sports thing, but it also now means a smart college where the smart people go. But that's where I first laid my little 11-year-old fingers on a computer keyboard for the first time in 1975. I got locked in the bathroom, too.
How'd that happen?
I don't know. They probably locked me in the bathroom for asking too many questions, but I don't know. I was in there for
Get out of here,
minutes.
You 11-year-old.
Yeah, come to think of it, I think they probably locked me in. Those SOBs.
Yeah.
I hope they're all dead. No, I'm kidding. I hope they're just suffering badly.
They're probably suffering from bugs in their code.
I don't know. The good ones are probably working for the military, making drones. And the bad ones are probably, I don't know. We're probably just, the high point of their life was probably being an extra in the movie PCU. Did you ever see that movie?
No.
I saw it last night. It's kind of like Animal House, but in the 90s, and it's better than Animal House. People are going to say I'm horrible for saying it's better than Animal House, but you know what? Animal House wasn't that good. I don't care what people think.
What?
And I know it's the Emperor's New Clothes, man. You think that was a great movie? Also, there's some really bad audio in it. When John Belushi is screaming about, you know, did George Jefferson, when he was fighting the Nazis at Lexington and Concord, did he give up? No. There's some really bad audio in that part, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I guess the movie did commit some hate crimes, didn't it?
Yeah, with bad audio is a hate crime. Mm. All right, so I guess we'll get the spook thing out of the way. Let's do this right. although I think we got that more right than Sterner in that episode. So,
I think we handled the spook thing quite. I don't know. To sum it up, really, the spook thing is it's an analytical thing. Is what it.
It's not slang for colored people.
No.
Oh, that's
no.
the slur.
That has
colored. When I was a kid, they were called colored people. I'm 1/64th black, so we were called colored people. Yeah.
Jeez.
That's why I got locked in the bathroom.
That's probably why. Jeez, Pete. Yeah, it was a word used that was kind of like an analytical word by Sterner to describe something that was not a reality. Something that mainly what people hold, something that is not real that people hold sacred. Yeah. And place it as like an ideal,
patriotism.
Build philosophies based around this false reality that they come up with ideas where it's like they believe that, for example, patriotism would be a great idea of a spook that people hold as sacred, that build their entire worldview around this, and it's what it is. It's nothing more than just a ghost of the mind, Sterner said in his book, The Ego and His Own. You know, man, your head is haunted. You got wheels in your head. You know,
wheels in your head. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. You know that's the kind of just those kind of things. Those are what would be considered a spook. Is something that you hold sacred that is not real in reality. Something you only exists in your mind. Something that does not translate to the natural world. It's just an idea that people hold and hold sacred and place great importance on these things that are not real.
I like the calling things spooks like you do as a as kind of a thought experiment to help train people to recognize them. And I think what went wrong on that show was you guys just kept yelling, it's a spook, this is a spook, that's a spook, without really like explaining why people should care. And I think that should care.
We were spook posting on the radio.
Yeah, you're poo posting spooks on the radio. Yeah, it's not the place for it. Yeah. People on the radio don't even know what a meme is, a lot of them. You know, we got to explain it, you know?
No.
It's not that they're dumb. It's just, you know, they're from my era and didn't get into computers as quick as I did. They're just now getting on the internet. You know, in the 8 years I've been in Casper, Wyoming, like, There was like one other wireless network on my block when I moved here, and there's like eight now. And people come on the internet in the past 8 years. I can't fathom that.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, we're here to help those people and explain it to them.
Explain the
how
internet.
The world really works. Yeah. Internet on the radio. That's what Jim dubbed the Freedom Fiends. Yeah. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market.
Yeah.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
The higher setting on the Fiend phone, James?
On the Opus Talk 32?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Yeah. I'll do this one.
Warning.
Oh, you doing it?
You can do it now.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon. High atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Please insert the purple wire into your cortex now.
It's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
And if you want to have something in your pocket, in your phone, that can say things like that to people, go to, well, you have to have an Android. You have to be one of the cool people, not one of the snooty people with an iPhone. Mm-hmm. And then go to, yeah, I'm echoing a little bit. Go to, turn me down a little bit on your headphones, please, there, James, just a little bit. Because, yeah, it didn't save the settings. Go to the Google Play Store and get Pocket Alibi, which is a cool little app we made. This is a little soundboard that, you know, has lots of good stuff that you
don't
can
feed the trolls.
Yeah, it's got all these people that aren't even on the Fiends anymore. I use people. I get them to record things for me and then fire them. Yeah.
Federal Reserve notes. Did you just assume my tender?
Yeah, speaking of...
Why don't you come into my Bitcoin mine and get comfortable?
Mako's triggering.
All the fun stuff we do for the world. We got a really cool new thing. There's a Freedom Fiends. There's a Freedom Fiends Digest, which is Free Talk Live has had one of these for a while. It's basically like they have their show is 3 hours a day, so the digest is I think 30 minutes, and it's just kind of the high points of the show. It's not like the we have a best of this show that's on every Friday, but it's basically almost machine generated. It's done by people.
Oh,
it's
we'll
like,
settle this argument. Give me Lysander Spooner on the Ouija board.
It's you know, it's like half hour one of the Sunday of the Monday show, half hour two of the Tuesday show, half hour three of the Wednesday show, and half hour four of the Thursday show. That's the best of. But this is done by a person. We got this Riley Blake. He's doing this Fiends Digest. He started last night, and tonight, when we worked out all the bugs, starting tonight, it's going to be great. It's going to sound great, and you know, good encode rate, but it's going to be really small, like 15 megs. So it's, you know, if you have like a limited data plan, it's a good choice. Wow. You're poor? Cuck. Man, James.
Anyhoodle.
You smell like Mr. Burns there. If you don't have all the money in the world, you're a bad person. No. If you don't have all the money in the world, you can use the free.
You're triggering me.
Okay, stop for a minute. At least pull it back a little bit. I think it's louder than you. Yeah, it's too quiet. But so you can get the Freedom Fiends Digest by going to digest.freedomfiends.com. That's digest.freedomfiends.com. And while you talk about Max Stirner for an hour, I'm going to go link it on the Freedom. I'll link it on the Freedom Fiends site. So who is Max Stirner and why should people care?
Well, Max Stirner, he was a German philosopher, and he was pretty much one of the the main.
When, back, where, how, was, what, and why?
All right. This was early 1800s. He was one of the forerunners of the individualist anarchist school. He wrote a couple of books, The Ego and His Own, and then a response to some of the critics of The Ego and His Own, Stirner's critics.
So he wrote a book. And then
a follow-up.
So this is before the internet. So instead of just yelling at people on Facebook, you'd compile all of your haters and then write a book to them.
That's what he did. Yeah, he compiled all, because people would, instead of people yelling at each other on the internet, they would write books about each other. And so Stirner wrote the two books. I believe he wrote another book, but I don't think that was really relevant to it.
Oh, it's about bird watching, right? The birds of North America.
Yeah, he wrote some other stuff that really wasn't great relevant book. To. like he wrote some stuff about like education and stuff about religion, but when it comes to the, I mean that does kind of I guess tie into it, but his main two works that people really need to read were The Ego and His Own and Stirner's Critics, which go into a lot of the philosophy of his egoist anarchism, as it's known as. He received a lot of people really did not like him. For example, Karl Marx and Engels, they wrote a book entitled The German Ideology, which was basically just a giant attack on Stirner. And it actually, the amount that they wrote in this book trying to hate Stirner was more than all of Stirner's works ever.
I like it. And anybody that pees off Karl Marx that much, I'm already intrigued.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, they really did not like Stirner because his rejection of morality as a spook made it impossible to reconcile communism.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Max Stirner's The Ego and His Own is really like, it's kind of like two different parts, where of the dominant ideologies of the time, the dominant spooks of the time that when he was alive were, the liberals of his day and the communist socialists, which at that point in time, if you read a book, he uses communists and socialists interchangeably. It was the same thing back then, really. There was no real separation.
I think it really is the same. I think it's two points on the same two regions on the same line.
Well, no, it wasn't like that then. Back when Max Stirner was writing this book, there was no separation. The words were used interchangeably.
Well, later it was too. I mean, the biggest communist country in the world ever was the Soviet Union, right. And the name of the Soviet Union was the United Soviet Socialist Republic. Wasn't it
wasn't it? Until later that the words became separated to mean something different. At that point in time, they meant the same. But he wrote half of the book is completely wrecking communism. The other half was completely wrecking liberalism of his day.
I'd wreck that ideology.
That was what. What I really liked about Stirner is he didn't really propose a utopian world in the future, unlike a lot of philosophers of those days that were trying. He didn't try and do the same kind of thing that like Marx did, or didn't try and do the same thing that like the liberals of his day were doing, trying to propose some utopian future society if all their stuff was there. He just basically said that we won't know what we want when we're free until we're free, and I really respected that a lot about him, and I really like that a lot about him is him saying we really can't tell, we're not free right now, we're not gonna be able to tell what world's gonna look like then. We have to get free before.
A problem I have with a lot of statists, which are people who love the state and, you know, get mad when you talk about ideas of the free market running things and organizing society instead of a bunch of bureaucrats, you know, directing government guns like the state does, which is the definition of the state, literally. I mean, the geopolitical definition of a state, meaning a country, a nation, is an entity that has the monopoly on violence in a given region, or the near monopoly on violence in a given region. Like, it's the entity that can kill you and get away with it, really. You know, so they always say too, like, Somalia, you know, if you don't like government, go to Somalia. Somalia had governments. It had, like, warlords sponsored by, you know, armed by the United States government to do their will. So that's acting like the state in that situation. But the thing I hate about status, other than everything, is that they always demand that you tell them right now exactly how things would work in the absence of the government. And if you can't tell every detail of it to them right now, they say, oh, it'll never work. You know, like, that's like saying to the, you know, to, like, the people who were inventing cars at, you know, this turn of the 1900s, like, you know, what are these going to look like in 100 years? If you can't tell me exactly, this won't work. I think it's the same thing, really.
You can't really say how things work in a free society.
Yeah, because it's a lot of different ways things can work.
Things can do cool a lot of different ways.
Yeah, man.
Kind of the whole point of freedom is you can do things multiple different ways.
Yeah, that's true. They're wanting, like, one way. They want you to, like, write, you know, they want you to write the Constitution of freedom. Like, yeah, you know, tell me this, the whole blueprint.
This is how things work. Nope.
Yeah.
But a lot of people try, and I really don't like when they try.
Yeah,
a lot of people like to try and say, this is how it can work. This is what we'll do. This is how society...
I don't have a problem with saying how it could work.
I don't really like it, though.
It's not my job. It's not what I do. No. I usually direct them to other people when they ask, but... Yeah.
No, I don't really see it anyway. I just don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like people centrally planning my liberty.
Yeah, but I think it's kind of fun.
That's what it seems like.
Thought experiment to, like, you know, like... Really kind of, like, well, it's good to, like, kind of show people too that it doesn't have to be the government. Like, a common one is, who would build the roads? A common answer is, well, probably companies that want customers to get to their roads, and there's companies everywhere. So,
right. But here's the thing, is that we don't know. And, you know, we can
theorize flying cars. You don't
exactly.
Need
we don't know. We really don't know. We could have flying cars if there weren't all these.
There are flying cars. They just the first commercial flying car just came out, man.
And the government doesn't like it. They're going to get rid of all
the
roads.
Like it. Yeah. Well, you can use it in places that aren't very sparse. In other words, you cannot use it in places you actually need it.
Mm-hmm.
Because government.
Government. Yay.
Government. Yeah, I don't know.
Ruin everything.
You don't talk well to statists.
What do you mean?
I think. I mean, I have to draw it out of you. I mean, like, you're like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about how things would work. No, you have to. Well somebody
here's
has
the
to.
Thing, though.
You don't have Here, to do it,
Here's but. The thing is that in a free society, there's no way to be able to say how things can work. And my concern is not with how things can work. My concern is being free. Yeah. I really, you know, I'm not the one that's going to say how we're going to pick the cotton. I just want...
You just want slavery gone.
I just want slavery gone.
The market will provide.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
I love the Freedom Fiends. But in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
So, Max Stern, why should you check him out?
Why should I care?
Why should you care? Well, because he's really, Max Stern really was one of the basis of a lot of thought today that we have, even a lot of individualist thought.
You got a mouse
thought
in your pocket there?
Yeah, we.
We anarchists.
We as in people who would call ourselves anarchists. A lot of the various anarchist philosophers across the spectrum.
Anarchists?
Across the spectrum.
Ayn Rand is probably the only one people have heard of or listening.
Ayn Rand is probably she would be one that would have been influenced by him. But more of even just, you know, Benjamin Tucker, Emma Goldman, Renzo Novator, just a bunch of people, Robert Anton Wilson, Oscar Wilde, a lot of people, Rudolf Steiner. There's been a ton of people who've just been influenced by him, and you know, no matter where you, if you're on at all anarchist friendly, whoever you like has probably been influenced in some way, either directly or indirectly, by Max Stirner. Just about everybody. It really doesn't matter who you're reading; they probably got a little bit influenced by Max Stirner. If you're reading anyone alive today.
So do you have any interesting anecdotes or funny stories about the life and times of Max Stirner?
Well, yeah, I do. When Max Stirner, he was, him and some of his buddies with the Young Hegelians, they tried to open up and operate a milk shop in Cooperative Principles. Basically, but they decorated the place up, and they're, you know, a bunch of well-dressed, you know, intellectuals. The milk farmers didn't want to trade with them, and the customers always felt too poorly dressed to buy milk there because of the way they kept the place decorated. The business just completely went up and failed. And I always thought that was funny. He opened up this milk shop for people to come buy milk that just decorated it up so fancy that they stole milk.
now why should we like this guy when he stole? That doesn't sound good.
Well, you'd have to read his book.
Tell me in a nutshell.
There's a whole part about, you know,
is
him,
this about the deed?
The deed?
Something about the deed. Yeah.
No. No. No, this is about something to do with his rejection of property rights as a spook.
Who's he? Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
So he's saying, you got to read his argument. It sounds very communist to me.
Well, you'd have to know he's very against communism. This is against communism 100%.
Here's what I say. If you have to read a book, the concept is too hard and too difficult to explain. So give me a short synopsis.
Short synopsis is that basically property rights themselves are just spooks. There's no such real thing as a property right. It doesn't exist in nature. It doesn't exist in reality. It's a spook.
So why can't I go into your house and take your stuff while you're at work?
Because I'm defending it.
Yeah, but
that's what he believed property was what you defend is yours. That is real. If it's not defended and, you know, you can take it, it's yours. But if it's really the way of nature in reality, but you have to defend your property. You have to defend your property. And that's the way property really works, is that you have to defend it.
So what keeps you from stealing from people when they're not looking, if they're not defending it?
They're defending it.
What if they're not?
Everyone's defending their property if it's theirs. I mean, if you find a let me give you a thought experiment. Okay, you're walking down the street and you see a $100 bill laying on the ground. Do you pick it up?
Of course.
Okay. Why? That was someone else's property.
No, I'm an anarchist and I say this is government money. This is real.
Okay, you see a paper wallet with a hundred Federal Reserve notes worth of Bitcoin laying on the ground. Do you pick it up?
Yeah.
You put it in your pocket?
Yeah.
Why? It's someone else's property, wasn't it?
It's not being defended.
Exactly.
I'd say it's in the comments.
Exactly.
I'm homesteading it by picking it up.
Well, it's not being defended. If it's not being defended, it's in all reality abandoned. For all intents and purposes, it's been abandoned if it's not being defended.
Yeah, I don't know. Tell me more. Well, make me want to read the book. Don't just tell me to read the book. Okay, we're going to go to the break. Okay, when you come back, tell me why. Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
You got one there, James.
I'm looking at this Stephen Fry.
All right. We'll do that. We'll go there. We'll go to Ireland. So, while I was relieving things over the break, I was thinking about the sterner corner we painted ourselves into, and I got it. So, the reason you wouldn't go into a house to steal, even though they're not there, it's not necessarily a sense of, it's not normal morality, but it's basically, they're defending it by having a house, even if they're not there. Would you agree that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a locked, secured building.
Yeah, yeah. And even, you know, even though most people could probably get into most houses with common tools if they had to, although they'd probably be seen doing it.
And their neighbors would probably come to their aid and defend them.
Yeah.
I know if I saw someone trying to get into my neighbor's house, I would come to my neighbor's aid.
But, you know, even if it was in the middle of the woods, like you were camping and you came across a cabin that looked like it'd been occupied that day and the person wasn't there, you wouldn't break into it because the fact that it's a cabin and people are using,
I guess that would depend. I mean, I've seen plenty of horror movies to know that breaking into a cabin in the woods is sometimes what you need to do.
Or sometimes a really bad idea.
Yeah. Or sometimes a really bad idea.
You know, I accidentally broke into a house one time. This is a pretty good story, and it's true. And it's a good transition out of Sterner. I don't mind Sterner. I like him. But when I was 15, I had a girlfriend. It wasn't the first girl I bedded down. It was the first girl I really liked bedding down and was, like, you know, in love with. And she liked me a lot. So I was going to boarding school in Pennsylvania, and this is in upstate New York, you know, the sticks. This is the sticks, man. This is where people used to have, you know, rifle racks and shotgun racks with rifles and shotguns in their cars that, like, they would park, you know, and walk away from the car. And nobody'd break in because it would be insane to do that. You know, first of all, you just didn't do it because you didn't want people to break into your car and steal the rifle off the rack, but also because, you know, somebody would shoot you if they saw you breaking into their buddy's car.
Yeah.
So, into the truck. So, it was that kind of town, that kind of time. And, you know, I lived in New York as far away from New York City as you can. The westernmost county of New York, the left tip, Chautauqua County. It's on Lake Erie. It touches, you know, it borders Pennsylvania. Like, my siblings, older siblings, used to drive to Pennsylvania to buy liquor when the New York State drinking age was 21 and Pennsylvania was 18, back before they, you know, unified it to 21 everywhere. you know, they'd go for freedom. They'd slip through the portals that are loopholes, the portals, the holes to freedom in the state. But it was a different time. So I was going to see my girlfriend when I was on Christmas break from the church farm school. And she had moved from her house. I was like 16 and she was like 18. And she'd moved out of her parents' house and moved into this weird house with this dude and these other two women. It turned out to be a cult. But I didn't know that. So I went to visit her and, you know, she was staying with her friend. Her friend was named something Bailey. I forget her first name. So I'm looking for this house. I hitchhiked like 15 miles. It was like three rides to hitchhike to this place and got to the road. I knew the name of the road it was on. She's like, yeah, turn on this road and then it's right up the street and name's on the mailbox. So I go up the street. I get to the house. I see Bailey on the mailbox. I'm like, okay, this is the place. I'm freezing by this point. I'm like really hungry, but I'm also just freezing, like kind of in danger. You know, I had to get warm pretty soon. Or it might have been a medical emergency in 20 more minutes. And it's, you know, windy and cold and snowing. And so I'm knocking on the door of this house. And I'm like, she knows I'm coming. Why isn't she there? And I knocked for like 5 minutes, you know, figuring someone's asleep or something. No answer. And so there's a pickup truck in the driveway. And it's not locked. And I get inside it to get warm. And I'm like, okay, maybe they went in the other car to the store and they'll be right back. So I wait a little while longer. I'm even in the truck, I'm getting really cold. So I look around for, you know, something to pry a window open with. I tried all the windows. I couldn't get them open. But they felt like they maybe painted shut or something. Like I could see one of them wasn't locked. So I found a screwdriver in the glove compartment of this truck. And I went and knocked on the door some more, and there's no answer. So finally, I like pry a window open with a screwdriver, get inside, shut the door, set the screwdriver down on the kitchen table. And I'm walking around, and I'm like, the first thing I see is a shotgun shell reloading station with, you know, like a bunch of shotgun shells that someone had just made. And I'm like, huh, she doesn't have a gun that I know of, and she didn't say anything about her friend having guns. And this is back when it was like kind of weird to me that people had guns, even for hunting. And then I go in the other room, and there's like a baby's bassinet that looks like it's been freshly slept in by a baby. And I'm like, okay, I know her friend doesn't have a baby. And I look at some mail on the kitchen table, and I realize it's not the same Bailey. It's a different Bailey. Oh, so, geez. You know, I've broken into this house where they're like gun people and they have a kid. They probably would have killed me if they'd been in there sleeping. So I got the heck out of there and walked up the road and found the other Bailey and went in, told them the story of this. And she's like, oh man, those Baileys hate us and they're not related. It's just random. So, yep, that's the accidental breaking and entering I did in long time.
When you almost died.
Yeah, or I don't know. I don't know if I almost died. I mean, you know, that's kind of a Schrodinger's break-in. I can't tell whether I almost died or not until I did. You know, you have to pass the law until you find out what's in it.
Yeah, that seems pretty pretty close call there.
And my Freudian slip there, the actual saying is, we have to pass the law to see what's in it, Nancy Pelosi said. But I said, you have to pass the law until you see what's in it, which actually I think is turning out to be what the healthcare situation is in America, law situation is. Because they're trying to pass something again that's, you know, I don't know.
We got to pass it to find out what's in it.
If it's broke, break it until you fix it. I think that's their attitude.
I think that's what the new thing is, right? Break it until you fix it.
Yeah. So the other thing is, you know, you were getting into an area that sounded like morally iffy to me with, you know, stealing if you can, or and not really what you said, but it sounded that way until we explained it more. And I just talked about breaking into someone's house, and I would never break into someone's house. You know, I mean, unless it was an extenuating circumstance, like, you know, someone I knew was in there and screaming for help. But, you know, in general, I wouldn't. But here's the thing. If anyone's morally outraged by this, if you're listening to this on the radio, you're probably stealing. So if you vote, you're stealing. If you don't vote because you're a convicted felon because you stole something, but, you know, you still want to vote, you're stealing. If you think the state should be, you are stealing. Now, can you elaborate on that a bit, James, for us, please?
All right. So if you vote, you're stealing. Well, you're stealing the opportunity of other people to
by proxy,
live
you're
free.
Just getting someone else to do your
You're just getting
for
someone
you.
Else to steal for you. If you vote for someone who increased tax, you're voting for, as we pointed out at the very beginning of the show, taxation is theft. So you vote for someone to increase tax, you vote for a millage. You vote for
a millage. What's a millage?
A millage. One of those do you don't have millages there in you're lucky.
Wyoming? I don't know.
Millage is a voted on tax increase when they want to increase funding for like schools.
They have them here. They call them something else. I was talking to someone today who said that their town has an antenna tax. Like if you have a radio or a TV antenna, receiver antenna on your house, they tax you for that.
Who voted for that?
I don't know. Probably the guy in town who owns the TV repair shop back when TVs had antennas.
That guy's a horrible person.
Or, you know, maybe the opposite. Maybe it's someone who is trying to, like, push progress by getting everything wireless.
Maybe. But it still seems terrible to have
it's got
to
be a vested interest. All bills that are passed that have some kind of fiduciary attachment to them are always either passed because someone's trying to increase something or decrease it. You know, they're either trying to stimulate something artificially or they're trying to punish something, like, you know, the high tax on tobacco.
Mm-hmm. So basically they're horrible.
Yeah, if you want to, you know, not smoke, just come over to my house and watch me use oxygen when I should be healthy otherwise because I smoked for so long. Don't do it, kids. Stop snitching on your lungs. Don't smoke.
Don't smoke, huh?
Yeah, I wouldn't smoke. Well, you know, it's the only thing I regret of everything I ever did. And I was a heroin addict for like 8 years, too. Don't smoke. It's the only, I don't want to say don't smoke, but I will say it's the only thing I've done in my life that I regret. And I've done some pretty stupid things in my life. What do you regret?
That's interesting. I don't know. Nothing really like that. I guess I kind of regret smoking a little bit, getting a cancer
scare. Smoking? You still smoking?
No, I'm quitting. I'm in the process of quitting smoking.
What's your cancer scare? You want to talk about that?
I mean, I'll talk about it once we find out what more.
All
Let's
right,
just
cool.
say it's cancer scare. We don't need to talk about it right now.
I had one of those recently and talked about it on the show, and it turned out to be nothing.
Yeah, I'm hoping this turns out to be nothing. I'm hoping this turns out to be nothing.
I hope so, too, man. I like doing shows with you. Although, you know, not all cancer is... cancer is such a dirty word. I mean, it's... there are things that are worse. Like having any kind of ongoing heart failure is usually more of a death sentence than a lot of kinds of cancer. And there's actually kind of cancer like skin cancer that are basically like, you know, hi, boss, I've got a touch of skin cancer. I won't be in for the week. I mean, that's how... like curable skin cancer is most of the
time. Yeah, skin cancer is a very curable.
Prostate cancer, very curable if they find it soon enough.
Well, a lot of cancer is pretty curable, but it'll kill you too. It'll kill you.
Yeah.
So
can the treatment though too. I'm not anti traditional, you know, I'm not anti Western medicine treatment entirely at all, but you know, it can be pretty deadly. My daughter died of leukemia and was basically like pressured into the treatment by the doctors. And I don't know what her mother's really, who knows, you know, we didn't get along that well, but by a lot of people said, you got to take the cure. And it was like a form of cancer that like had a really low survival rate, like 13%, you know, with treatment and like not much different than that without the treatment. So basically like, you know, she spent the last year of her life like in vomiting with her hair falling out in constant pain, whereas the cancer wouldn't have been that bad on its own.
Humans
and our fallibilities.
It's that when the treatments are almost worms. Sometimes worse. It's no
worms.
No,
yeah, worms. Yeah, worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
It's not cheating if you sleep with a ghost.
Bitcoin's at $1,731.
Oh, man. I really am.
Are you one of these people who just goes ugh every time you hear that, because you think about how much has gone through your hands and how you used to buy it when it was $30 and you're like, I don't know, I'll spend it.
I keep thinking about how much, you know, I've spent instead of saved and how much I didn't buy that I should have when I was like, oh, it'll come back down. I'll buy some more when it comes back down.
Participating in the free market, though, by letting it go through your hands.
And what really gets me, though, is that I buried like 1.5 bitcoins reformatting my phone.
Yeah, I got I killed 3 of them one time because I couldn't remember the password. And I spent like 40 hours, like 8 hours a day for 5 days trying to type it in. You know, I knew like it had something to do with something in my past that I remembered, and like I couldn't do it. And I finally was going insane, and I'm like, I destroyed it. And then I found out later, like when it hit 1,000, that there's, you know, people who, for like 50%, like people who reputably do this, like they'll run, you know, if you know part of it, they'll run it through, you know, brute force to try to get it. If you know, like, if you remember approximately how many letters long it is and like what some of the letters were, they can sometimes get it. Yep.
Yeah, but mine was buried a little bit differently. I reformatted my phone and just lost it.
Yeah, I remember on a show previous Freedom Fiends, you were talking about why everybody needs to reformat their phone from time to time. You didn't mention that when you were talking about that. Remember that?
Yeah, I was doing my reformatting of the phone, and I have a paper wallet that has it backed up somewhere. But now, a couple years later, I still have not found it. I put the paper wallet somewhere. I'm 90% sure it's in my house. It may have accidentally went out with the trash. I don't know.
Now that I would spend 40 hours looking for, because I don't
think there's a piece of paper in my house. Believe me,
I don't think there's a piece of paper in my house I couldn't find in 40 hours. And, you know, we have 2,000 square feet. I would look everywhere.
Yeah,
I do.
I just don't know where I stuck it. I've spent quite numerous hours trying to find it, and I'm pretty sure I'll come across it one day.
That's going to end up in Fiends Out of Context tomorrow. I don't know where I stuck it.
I can see that going in Fiends Out of Context.
Yeah, I could too.
Well, do we? Do we even want to get into the Stephen Fry thing? We got a couple minutes left. We got 90 seconds left. We can go into that. Stephen Fry,
who played a subversive BBC commentator, basically in V for Vendetta. Mm-hmm. And we're not even going to go into what we were talking about, V for Vendetta, about me sharing some experiences in the past with someone who was later married to one of the Wachowski brothers, but Wachowski's
sisters.
Yeah.
Gender's a spook.
I'll give them that. Yeah. All right. But, you know.
But, yeah, the thing that really is funny is that he was in the movie V for Vendetta, he was arrested for this thing that he's actually
for blasphemy,
facing.
And he's facing charges in Ireland.
Yeah, he's facing blasphemy charges. And I think that's funny that, you know, the Wachowski sisters have, you know, predicted the future of the V for Vendetta with the same actor. what he would face there.
Reality imitates art, I think. Yeah. We don't have a show title yet, but I think there we go. Yeah, I don't have anything against religion, but I certainly have things against people trying to enforce their religion with the law. You know, I mean, the fact that that's a law in Ireland is only a matter of degrees from, like, ISIS throwing, you know, non-believers off of rooftops and burning them alive.
Yeah, at least this isn't on par with really that, but it's still, I mean, bringing people up on charges for saying something, you know, and it really wasn't.
Here's what I think, man.
It wasn't really that bad.
If your God can't stand some criticism, you have the wrong religion, man.
Probably. You're practicing it way wrong.
Religion, you're doing it wrong. Yeah. If you're involving the government. If you need the government guns.
You're doing it wrong, man.
Yeah, man.
Doing it way wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. If you think, I mean, that's a religious war. If you think that your religion should be protected by the government, you, sir, are worse than ISIS in a matter of degrees.
That's gonna burn.
That's gonna burn in the morning. Worms.